ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. Today, I'm really excited to be speaking with Murray Cole, the Vice President of Sales for the Kraft Sports Group. He currently oversees all sales initiatives and sales relationships for the New England Patriots, the New England Revolution, Gillette Stadium, and Patriot Place. He also manages the Revolution and Patriots broadcast relationships. He's developed groundbreaking trade-building sponsorships and promotional elements, created and executed a blueprint for the Patriots' playoff and Super Bowl appearances that resulted in record postseason revenues in professional sports, and he's been called upon to advise Fortune 500 marketing executives on developing effective marketing and sales promotion platforms incorporating the Kraft family sports properties. He also created the Gillette Stadium grand opening strategy and managed the successful launch of the stadium in 2002. Hi, Murray. Thanks so much for being on the program. I'm really excited to have you with us. And I have to just add that my son is swooning that I'm talking to you. Major brownie points for mama. So thank you for that.
Very glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So you have an interesting role because, you know, a lot of you span a big organization. So can you give listeners just a Cliff Notes version of your role and the organizations that are under your purview?
Of course. My title is Vice President of Sales for the Kraft Sports Group. The Kraft Sports Group is a holding company for several different entities. The three that are most well known, obviously, are Gillette Stadium, the New England Patriots, and the New England Revolution. There's also some other entities that I oversee. But in general, my role for the Kraft Sports Group is Chief Revenue Officer, which seems to be the similar position at some of the NFL teams that my counterparts have. I've worked for the Krafts for almost 20 years, going on season 18.
Holy smokes.
Been a good run.
Yeah, I'd say so. So one of the things that, you know, when looking at building engagement with audiences, do you have to take a really, you know, we're dealing with American football and then soccer. And is the approach different in terms of, because of the nature of the sporting event, do you take a different approach or are you acting in sort of similar ways?
Well, one thing I also should add, I do oversee the broadcast relationships and I get involved in some of the content generation, but that's not my primary role. I generally support that function. What I've learned over the years is the operations and management of both teams are very similar. We share a lot of the same functions between organizations. Where things mm-hmm. start to diversify is certainly the market and the market segmentation.
Right.
When we get to the audiences, we do try to treat the audiences and what their needs and expectations are differently, as you can imagine.
Right.
I'm trying to think of a good example, but one of the obvious ones, the televised version of the NFL, there's a lot of stoppage in play and a lot of commercials.
Mm.
Certainly do that with Major League Soccer and the New England Revolution, but we try to copy more of the European approach where we broadcast the entire game with running time, and there's very little breaks in the broadcast. And that's strictly a function of what the audience expects.
Right.
There's other very nuanced differences in how we treat and approach the market. So the answer to your question is ultimately the markets are different.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned a lot of the operational processes are the same as far as the customer service at the stadium and the way that we treat fans at every event at Gillette Stadium.
Right, sort of the experience, the personal experience in stadium.
The experience once they get to the game, and they'll react to the venue and they'll react to the opponent and they'll react to the game itself very, very differently, as you can imagine.
Right. One of the things I was curious about is how youth sports relate to building new fans. How is youth sports creating sort of a feed in?
Youth sports is where everything begins and where our fan base began, for sure.
You know, certainly when I was a kid, you know, soccer, certainly televised soccer wasn't as big a thing when I was a kid. And yet, you know, we see it growing. Nielsen published a report reviewing the year in sports viewing, and they highlighted how important the Hispanic market was to soccer. Does New England have a large Hispanic population?
Not Hispanic as I think the definition that, you know, the broad
Nielsen
definition. There's a large ethnic population, obviously. There's a very, very large Brazilian and Cape Verdean audience, I think, that would constitute, if you define the Hispanic audience, it certainly
right.
falls into that. And then there's a whole lot of other communities that are certainly part of the Latino, I guess, market segmentation. But it's not as high a concentration as, let's say, Chicago or New York or Miami, obviously.
Right.
But it's a growing market. It's very important to not only the Revolution, but also the Patriots. And many of the other events that we host here, we host an awful lot of international soccer as well. And so mm-hmm. those audiences are extraordinarily important, not just to the MLS, but also to the growth of athletics across New England. And we're certainly very cognizant of those audiences.
Right. Television and cable are always concerned about is sort of what millennials are doing and, you know, are they watching or they're not watching, and sports and live sporting events tend to be safe zones for appointment viewing. But I'm wondering, you know, have you seen any shifts in younger audiences and their level of participation and engagement in a live event way? Are you noticing any change of behavior, or is it still pretty that sports are kind of outside of that, you know, challenge that other attention economy creators of content are grappling with?
Well, we're certainly keenly aware of the market segmentation with the viewership and the viewing audiences. It mm-hmm. started years ago when viewership online migrated from desktop to mobile, and mm-hmm. mobile is now a bigger proportion of our digital consumption.
Right.
Television, we're a bit insulated strictly, especially on the Patriot side, strictly because the interest in the team is at an all-time high, and our ratings
right.
have grown almost week to week over the last 3 years. I
wow.
think we're in a very unique situation compared to some of the other teams across professional sports in the United States.
Right.
We certainly have seen television viewership change. I don't know if Nielsen and the other ratings organizations have caught up to it. We know that viewership is migrating from the traditional television set to different mobile devices.
Right.
How that's recorded, I think, is being developed. And again, I'm
right.
not sure if it's caught up, the ratings services have caught up yet. I think interest in professional soccer and professional football are certainly growing still. I think the audiences are just a little bit more fragmented where they're consuming our content.
Right.
And so
how important,
we're trying to deliver content wherever our audiences dictate. And, you know, that's not a, you know, anything new, but it certainly takes a lot more work to serve up content across different devices.
How important are the social platforms, and how much time do you, like, obviously there are existing ones like Twitter and the Facebook and Instagram, but Snapchat, for instance, are the new emerging platforms. How important are they to what you're doing?
Well, social is at the backbone of any of our marketing strategy, obviously, just like it is any large organization these days. We're evolving with the social mediums, and as they become more technologically advanced and capable, we're trying to keep up and sure that we're serving content where and when we can across those social media platforms. It's really changing so rapidly. It's hard to keep up day to day. We generally do a very, very good job of reacting to the marketplace and reacting to where our audiences are dictating that we serve them content. So we've been in the social media game for a long time, and we're pretty good at it, but there's always room to improve.
How big is your social team?
Boy, off the top of my head, I would say there's roughly 8 full-time staff that support social media channels. Some also support on the fringe, and they'll feed content. They may not have a primary function in social, but they're serving those folks that manage it day to day, and it's certainly a function here.
And one of the things with original scripted shows is we found that the actors and their feeds also are important for the brand, the show brand. And I presume that the athletes' social accounts are very important to what you do and tie in. How much influence do you have with the athletes' accounts, or are they really completely independent? How much do they, loop you guys in?
One of the interesting things we do on the soccer side is we allow the players to use the content that we are recording during live action. So, for example, during a game, we'll allow them to tap into our feed after the game to serve up on their networks. On the football side, it's not as evolved. The athletes do what they will within the rules of the organization. We strongly advise them to follow the rules of the road. We know that the social media platforms can ensnarl athletes very easily, and we counsel them to use them responsibly. But every individual is different how they treat their social media and how they work with it day to day.
That's a little challenging, I think, as an organization, when it's sort of like having a bunch of loose cannons and you hope that they all behave, and if they fire in the right direction, super fantastic. But you worry about somebody who doesn't get the lesson right. I guess that just you have a cast iron stomach for that kind of stuff. The risk management.
All we can do is give them information and allow them to make the right decisions. After that, they're on their own.
Right.
We hope they're responsible, and it's important to the harmony in both locker rooms that they do use social media responsibly.
I saw an interesting presentation at the Paley Media Center about how the NBA is exploring the use of virtual reality technology. And I'm curious, are you looking to leverage any new technology like virtual reality, augmented reality, layered in messaging apps, or anything like that?
We've experimented with VR from time to time. Most recently, we did a campaign with Visa that went very well. It's something, and I'm not 100% positive of this, but organizationally, it's not something that we're doing right now. I think it's happening at the league level.
Okay.
Once that technology evolves, it usually trickles down to the teams for the use in our original content. But I don't know of any practices that we're doing within the organization right now.
Right. How much does the league influence what you are doing? Do they exert much, or is it guidance? How involved are they in terms of what you have to contend with?
The leagues will generally start the conversation and usually lead the conversation when it comes to technology. If they find after many, many tests and use of technology that it's something that the teams can benefit from, they will generally give us access to it, sometimes with restrictions, sometimes not. And over time, it's up to the organizations across both leagues to adopt it And right. We tend to be early adopters, and we tend to use technology to our advantage as best we can.
Well, I was reading, you're one of the few teams that use a digital background when folks are talking at press. And it was an interesting, the article I was reading was talking about how, you know, the Deflategate, which could be not so good in one sense, but that the software company, I guess there was a business software company that for the first time was on behind, was on your digital background, and they actually saw a kick because of that, which I thought was pretty interesting.
We certainly have been in the news quite a bit, usually for better. And the use of the digital backdrop has proven to be a very, very good use of our inventory, and especially for our partners. They have benefited from the reams and reams of impressions that the press conferences generate, whether it's for the Revolution, whether it's for the Patriots, or even other stadium events that we do. It just gives us a huge amount of flexibility when we are running press conferences or announcing different events here at the stadium, and our partners have benefited greatly from that.
Right. I was really also impressed to read about the Plymouth Rock Assurance auto insurance program that you had started, where the fans who purchased the special insurance got a slightly better experience, that they were able to get private tours of the stadium, that they got points in the organization, and that kind of building, you know, creating a better experience that helps both your partners and also continues to build upon the experience of the fan and their connection with the team. I thought that was really interesting. Are there other, I mean, that was just one article I found. What are some of the other things you're doing with partners which you felt were particularly innovative or different?
Well, certainly the Plymouth Rock program was unique. It was first of its kind. Insurance is an extraordinarily commoditized industry, and they were looking for a way to differentiate. And one of the thoughts, you know, we were posed with the problem, was to create access. And access at Gillette Stadium takes on many different forms, but we were able to give our insurance customers, again, different experiences, live experiences at the stadium. We also serve up content to the insured that are using the Plymouth Rock program. We've done an awful lot of interactive and unique programs with a variety of customers, some big, some small. Sometimes, you know, as simple as one of the football or soccer players going to a classroom for show and tell and doing sweepstakes across the region to offer that up.
That's awesome.
More complicated business-to-business programs where we've had Tom Brady or other athletes show up for question and answers, you know, behind the scenes peek at a day in the life of a Patriot player, to any number of programs. Off the top of my head, the Plymouth Rock program comes to mind as one of the best practices we did last year.
Right. I also thought it was interesting, you had a partnership with Uber. Now, is that to provide rides to and from the stadium? Now, is that something that you do a partnership and that's for the stadium, or is that related to Patriots and you might do a different deal with the New England Revolution? I mean, how do you determine, you know, how do you determine something like that?
The Uber relationship started a couple of years ago in Phoenix, at Super Bowl 49. We had a large number of our partners attending the Super Bowl in Glendale, and we needed a solution to get people from point A to point B from Thursday through Monday when people departed. And we reached out to Uber and asked for access at a discounted rate for this group of people that were traveling. The relationship was very, very successful. It evolved over time, and it's now part of what we call the Patriot 365 program, which is a program that our season ticket holders plus their family members and friends can enroll in, which gives season ticket holders a not only a discount on Uber rides, but it also gives them a credit to their season ticket account. So if they use Uber 100 times, they will get a predetermined credit towards their season ticket bill that we send out in March of every year. We have partners that are part of the 365 program. Dunkin' Donuts is one of them. They were the first to join. Papa Gino's is an active partner, Uber, and we're adding partners throughout this season, and there will be some upcoming.
So you have a lot of there's a lot of footage, like what you were saying about, you know, you have these streams and your soccer players can then access streams to put moments on their social feeds. Do you have an in-house department which is cutting and creating snackable moments that they can be repurposed? You know, one of the things that is certainly in my business, you know, I'm creating trailers or promotion or marketing for entertainment brands. A wealth of footage is a blessing and a curse, you know, because it takes a lot of time to wade through it and to create something that's short, sweet, and shareable. So do you have people on staff who do that, or what do you do for that?
We do. We have a division within the organization called Craft Sports Productions. Produces all of our soccer games, our preseason football games, a whole host of shoulder programming around football and soccer. We also have folks that work within the social media and the PR department that will film different events, press conferences, so on and so forth, that they'll use in the social media content. So there's a handful of people, I don't know the exact number, that contribute to the original content that we produce. We produce many, many hours a week of original content, whether it's content that comes from the Patriots, the Revolution, or even a whole host of the stadium events that we do.
Right. Is there particular areas that, as you see the technology changing or shifting, something that you find especially exciting or interesting that you think, well, that'll be really interesting to exploit, or, you know, where do you see growth and change happening?
Well, you mentioned early on in the interview that the social platforms are not only ubiquitous, but the technology is changing. There's a whole lot more flexibility, and there's a whole lot more tools at our disposal to use social media and use it intelligently. Again, we are trying to lead when we can within social media and other areas of distribution, but we're also reacting to the market. I think social media is going to take over in some period of time, and it's going to become a new form of distribution for us. Not new, but it's going to be more prevalent, and we have to be a lot smarter and change with the content.
You mean like
game. Between YouTube, Netflix, and other platforms like that, there's going to be opportunities for us to take advantage of the audiences that are migrating that way. That's the biggest change. Although I don't believe the viewership is changing that much. I think they're just getting it in a new form of distribution. And it might be a little bit more bite-sized. It may fit with their schedule a little bit better. But certainly the content that we're creating hasn't really changed from, you know, now until 30 years ago. It's the same content. We're just serving it up in various different ways. And
well, but there's a lot
exciting
more of
just
it,
to keep up
it?
With it. There's certainly a lot more. But we, you know, our primary advantage is the original content that we're creating. Nobody else has it. We create that content live at the stadium, and we create that content in audio packages and video packages. And that part of the business truly hasn't changed, and it never will.
Right, right. With the stadium, when you're having other sporting events come in, like you had mentioned, other soccer events coming through. What other things take place in the stadium that you are promoting, marketing, and building relationships around?
Well, in addition to the football and soccer, I mentioned international soccer, which we have hosted every year that the stadium has been built. We have hosted the NCAA Lacrosse Championships several years ago. They're coming back this year.
Oh, fun.
We have the Monster Trucks, which is one of my favorites, one of my kids' favorites. We also, believe it or not, have events in here when the stadium, the stadium bowl is dormant. We have events in here roughly 363 out of 365 days a year.
No.
So wow. The stadium is never quiet. And then when you add Patriot Place on top of it, it's an extraordinarily busy venue. But the best part of Gillette Stadium is just the communal nature. I think we spent a lot of time talking about social media and individual viewing patterns. But the communal nature of the stadium is truly what makes Gillette Stadium unique. The tailgating that goes on, the different events that we host, the different markets and the different audiences that we attract truly make this a special place and one of the reasons that I've been here for so long.
Wow, that's great. I mean, certainly the building of community, the building of experience, the sense of fun and play, those are all things that we've heard talking to other people about what makes a robust brand and how you connect through disruptive times with consumers of entertainment. One of the things I like to do as I wrap up, I have a little game I like to play with people. I'm just going to say some words and you give me your top of mind response. Ready to play?
All right.
Okay. Facebook.
No.
Google.
Impressive.
Snapchat.
Getting to know it better.
Twitter.
Great news coverage.
YouTube.
Good video.
Ad blockers.
Hate them.
Art.
Watercolor.
Virtual reality.
Learning it.
Augmented reality.
Not so familiar with that.
Artificial intelligence.
Very cool.
Ah. If people fall on one side or the other of that, people either love artificial intelligence or like, no, it's scary.
I think it's really cool.
Do you have an Amazon Echo at home? I that's the next question.
Oh man, my wife said the word Alexa last night, and all of a sudden Alexa came on, and it freaked the both of us out. We're like, what? Who's it?
It's creepy. That's it. That's your AI right there. It's been really interesting. I think what you're doing is amazing. And you've obviously really connected. And I think it's really interesting also the ways that you're leveraging the social media so effectively. That's really, really great. So thank you for sharing about that. Well, we've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who have helped bring the program to life. First, the incomparable voice artist, my friend, Rob Naughton. Thank you. Our production team over at Microfame Media, a big thank you. And thank you to our guest and new friend, Murray Cole. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.